Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Hello, and welcome to the Monday Waffle podcast, brought to you by ECU Broadcasting. I'm Stuart Marshall, and with me, as per usual, is Sam McPherson. Hello, Sammy.
G'day, Stewie. Good to be back.
Been a little while, hasn't it?
Bit of time on the sidelines. We've been away for a few weeks, but we're back and raring to go after a big weekend of waffle footy.
There's only a few rounds to go in the waffle as well. Only three matches on the weekend, wasn't there, Sam?
There was three games on the weekend, a few byes. Same this weekend, but the waffle ladder is resembling similarly to the AFL ladder at the moment. There's a big log jam from second last up to fourth or even third. No, sorry, to fourth.
Yep.
Eighth to fourth, one game. Splits them and percentage. So, still a massive fight for those last three, the last two final spots. Perth and Peel Thunder currently occupy fourth and fifth, but Swans, Claremont, East Perth, all a chance to sneak into the fight by the end of the season.
Yes, East Perth are out and out wooden spooners, I would say, this season on 8 points. So they've only got the two wins, but even the battle for second spot, which we'll touch on in the match reports, but the battle for second spot between West Perth and South Freo,
it's on.
Is separated by 3%.
Yeah, it is certainly on. It's a very, very close competition this year, obviously, other than Subiaco, who are 15-0. But they were challenged by Claremont last week, only won by 3 points. So, shows there is a chink in that armour.
I guess West Perth, the biggest news coming out of West Perth in the last few weeks, seeing as we haven't been here, the embattled club now financially doesn't seem to be affecting them on the field, however.
No, on field it all seems to be going quite well, doesn't it? They've entered administration off the field, but on the field, second on the ladder, just went down narrowly to South Fremantle on the weekend, but they look as good as any to try and challenge Subiaco for this year's flag.
Definitely, yes. And as you mentioned, they did play South Freo, and both teams celebrated the 200-game milestones of Premiership players on the weekend and life members of Ashton Hams and Chris Cooner, respectively. But in the end, it was Hams and South Freo who won the tight affair, 10-8-68 to 10-3-63 against Cooner's West Perth. Now, this match started at Fremantle Community Bank Oval between the third place South Freo and second place West Perth. But West Perth still remains in second spot despite the loss, and as I mentioned, but only narrowly on percentage, while South Freo improves to 10-5 and will be doing all they can to snatch that second spot over the coming weeks. But little separated the two teams all day. But South Freo kicked the first two goals of the last quarter through Ashton Hams and Mason Shaw, which ended up being the difference in the final result. Shane Hockey produced one of the most remarkable performances of the season for the Bulldogs with 41 touches and 19 tackles.
Remarkable stat line, that.
How do you... I mean, footy is a very, very tough game. And to be able to tackle 19 times.
But how does one guy get 19 tackles and then you constantly... If you look down a stat line after any game of footy, there'll be blokes there with one or zero. How do you go through a game with zero and then equally, how do you go through a game and lay 19?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And Hayden Schloyth had a good game himself.
Schloyth.
34 touches and 8 tackles. So he's putting himself about for his...
Back-to-back standovers.
Exactly. Brandon Donaldson had 31, Ryan Cook 26, Jacob Dragovich 22, and milestone man Ashton Hams 20 with an important goal in the last quarter to get his team up in his big match. Corey DeLolio, Mason Shaw, Matthew Parker kicked 2 goals each for South Freo as well. Shane Nelson racked up another 40 for West Perth with Blake Wilhelm finishing with 33, Aaron Black 29, and Trent Manzone 20. Andrew Strike, ex-Eagles man, kicked another 3 goals for West Perth. Corey Chalmers 2 and Keegan Knott 2, Sammy.
Yes, Stewie. Well, I had a closer look at the Peel and East Perth game. Of course, we had the Western Derby on the weekend and these are the affiliated clubs still at this point. They went at it and Peel Thunder was, the first quarter at 4-2, but a massive second quarter blew open that contest. 7 goals to just 1 behind for East Perth in that second quarter. And after that, Peel Thunder were never really, really headed. And as a result, they improved to 7-9 and have snuck into fifth position there. And the Royals have slipped out of the five. And they're now 6-9. Dockers man Tom Sheridan was best afield. He had, similar to your man, He had 39 possessions, 2 goals and 10 tackles. So not quite the 19 tackles. And Stefan Giro, who was dropped for this week, had 27 touches and 2 goals. And Daniel Pearce continued to collect a lot of the footy. He had 31 touches. Hayden Matthews had 23. James Sturrock, 19. And Shane Kirsten had 18. And for the Royals, Luke Partington and Dom Sheed, both obviously Eagles-listed boys. Luke Partington kicked 3. And Sheed had 34 touches and 2 goals. So, I mean, just based on that, you'd think that Dom Sheed was like would potentially come in for, obviously, Andrew Gaff, who's going to spend, you'd think, the rest of the season on the sidelines.
Yep.
Dom Sheed, 34 touches and 2 goals. Looks like he's got himself a spot, or at least put himself right in at the top of the pecking order to come in.
You definitely think so. I mean, Brendan Archie had 21 touches, but Sheed, if you're putting up 34... especially with a player definitely coming out the side. And there's similar...
Seems a bit on the nose, Dom Sheed. He comes in, doesn't play that well, gets dropped. Then he goes back to the Waffle and just keeps racking up massive numbers.
And
so
him and Gaff can be similar players. I mean, Sheed
left-footers.
Yeah, left-footers. So it could work well for the Eagles. I mean, Sheed sort of plays
big
off half-back
winners
a bit more and can go in the middle though. But yeah, Andrew Gaff definitely dropping out. Won't be playing in the Waffle because he's not allowed, is he?
Not allowed. Andrew Gaff, I mean, this is a Waffle podcast, but... I'd say if I was in charge at the Eagles, I'd be letting Gaff get back from the tribunal. And I'd say, Andrew, go on holiday, mate.
See you later.
Because if you hang around Perth, you are going to be confronted by quite a lot of commentary from the public if you ever try and step out in the public. And obviously a horrible incident. We won't linger on it because every other media outlet in Australia is talking about it. So... we'll move on. There was one other game on the weekend, and that was between Subiaco and Swans. Subiaco easily accounting for the Swans, really. 11-14-80 to 4-4-28. Kyle Horsley continued his big season with 23 touches and 8 tackles.
The Lions have just done it again, kicking 8 goals to 1 in the second half alone to overrun Swan Districts.
They seem to...
That's what they do every week. They run out the game better.
They know when to enter fifth gear.
Yeah, they run out the game better and just belittle teams, it seems.
Lachlan Delahunty had another big game as well. He's putting together an excellent season.
Swan Districts have only kicked 28 points for the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well, does it?
I mean, it wasn't nice weather on the weekend. Yeah, but, I mean, they were right there at half time. As you said, it was 3-7 to 3-2, so... But, I mean, they got obliterated in the end. You look at the scoring shots, 8. There were 17 more scoring shots for Subi, 80 more disposals across the game. I mean, look at the hit-outs. It's 73 hit-outs to 37. So, they got absolutely smashed out of the middle.
Yeah, nearly 100 more touches to Subi.
Yeah. It's and the inside 50 count, 35 to 60. I mean, those sort of numbers, you really can't hold up when you're getting smashed around that much, around the ball, and obviously forward of the ball. Your defence is going to struggle to hold up when you're conceding 60 inside 50s in a game of footy.
Sandover medal fancy, Kyle Horsley had 23 touches, so it wasn't the top of the stat sheet for Subi, but should be right in contention come the end of the season.
Yeah.
Zach Clark, 57 hit-outs alone.
57 hit-outs, and Lachlan Delahunty obviously chipping in, as mentioned, with 15. So, I mean, they just keep doing what they need to do. I think Subi, they must just be hanging out for the finals. They know they're going to be there. They just want to make sure they're in form and winning at the right time of the season.
I guess you'd expect them to be resting players over the next couple of rounds casually, not as like blatant as Ross Lyon in the AFL has done in the past. That's what I suppose he's known for, you know, dropping nine guys in 1 week. But they have the luxury of doing that now.
Oh, yeah.
They could drop a game and it wouldn't matter.
15-0, you sit there. I think they probably don't even need to win another game, but... I mean, as we said, you don't want to tinker too much with form. You want to make sure you're going into the finals in form and make sure you're winning at the right time. Because as we've seen the last two seasons, they've been the best team for most of the season, but have lost at that critical juncture at the end of September.
But that was due to that. That's been fixed up.
Glossed over that.
That's been fixed up. I just want to quickly drop in the match review panel update for the round. So Matthew Parker from South Freo was cited for striking Tyler Keitel from West Perth during the second quarter of their league match on Saturday. So Sorry, Matthew Parker can accept a one-match ban with an early guilty plea. So it's the only MRP incident out of the weekend. So stint on the sidelines, it seems.
Little one-match ban for Matty Parker.
No good.
Right. Well, should we move on to next week's tips, do you think?
Yep. Give me 1 second. We'll get that prepped. But yes, we will. We'll go straight into tips.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down to business.
All right, Sam.
Right. Well, we've got 4 games next week. A full card again, all on Saturday, all at 2:15 p.m. We've got opening up at Lathlane Park. Perth will take on the Tigers.
Before you start, do you like that from the Waffle schedulers to schedule all matches at the same time? Or do you think it's better for the league to do it over a couple of days?
Bit of a tradition in the Waffle, isn't it? They all think that it goes off at the same time.
I particularly like to see that sort of scheduling on the last match of
Particularly given the AFL season this year might be affected by 4 or 5 results. Yeah. So if they all play at the same time,
The drama surrounding it.
A bit like the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's also like the NFL. They play all their games on a Sunday. They sort of all just go off in 2 waves.
Really?
There's 1 Thursday night game, 1 Monday night game, and then every other game in the NFL is on Sunday.
Interesting.
Not all at the same time, but there's like 4, 4, and 4 or 5, 5, and 5. I can't remember the exact numbers. They all go off at the same time, so it's exciting.
Yeah, but the Waffle seem to do it every week.
Yeah.
I wonder if the AFL will do it this season. But anyway, go on.
So, Lathlane Park, Demons, Tigers, a game which has big repercussions for the 5. Mm-hmm. If the Tigers can get over Perth, they will slip into the 5. And I think they will. I think the Tigers will take care of Perth based purely on, as I said last week, they took it right up to Subi all the way, only went down by 3 points. So I think that form stacks up.
Yeah.
West Perth v the Lions is another big game for West Perth. They've had to take on South Freo last week, pushed them all the way, just went down narrowly, and they got Subi this week, so that's at Joondalup Arena. You'd have to be stupid to tip against Subi, so I'll be going with Subi there, despite the fact it is up at Joondalup Arena. You got the Royals and the Sharks. The Royals should win that.
Yeah.
Maybe build some percentage, which will be very handy this year, and get back into the 5. And I think the Bulldogs will take care of the Swans at Steel Blue Oval.
It's funny with all the teams having such close percentage, purely because they've all been on the receiving end of a Subi shellacking.
Of a Subi hiding.
So they haven't had a chance to build it. It's just been smacked down.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty... I mean, I know when you've got 5 teams out of a 9-team comp in the finals, you're probably going to have a losing record in there.
Yeah.
But... That's 7-8 and 7-9, 6-9, 6-9, 6-10. When you've got a 6-10 team that's just 1 win outside of the finals, it's a little bit concerning.
So the top 5 for a 9-team comp, I guess the top team needs a week off.
They get the first week off.
That's sort of why they do it. But it's a bit like the A-League. It's sort of the top 6 make the finals out of a 10-team comp. So it's sort of, teams can have bad seasons. Like bad seasons, they can have very unsuccessful seasons, but it still is deemed a relative success because you've made the finals. But
yeah.
It's like your team actually doesn't deserve it because you've lost a number of home games. And I think the same sort of vibe goes into the Waffle, but that's the way it is. It's been like that forever.
Yep.
Rightio. So the Royals and Sharks, yep. I'm just like you, I'm going to go for the Royals in that one. The Demons and the Tigers... I'm going to go to the Demons because they're at home. I do like the Tigers. Like the Tigers have sort of steadied their form over the back half of the season.
Building.
They're building slowly, and they've been in plenty of close matches this season. 83-79 win was another one. 98-99 loss to Perth. So they've had a handful of close matches, and obviously getting close to Subi the other week was very, very handy for them. However, didn't get the win, and they were up the whole game. That was the annoying part. They got run out, but they just got run over. I was chatting to a player on the weekend about it. But, yes, I'm going to stick with the Demons, however, just because they're at home. Swans v. the Bulldogs, and we go the Bulldogs. And the Falcons v. the Lions, it's borderline impossible to tip against Subi.
You can't.
No.
16-0, maybe the perfect season. Imagine that.
Has there ever been an undefeated team in the Waffle?
I don't know about the Waffle. I remember Essendon in 2000 in the AFL lost 1 game. They lost to the Bulldogs when Terry Wallace decided to invent the flood.
Ah.
And it broke down Essendon in 2001. That was the day that Gary Moorcroft took that giant hanger.
Okay.
But the Waffle, I do not know. 24 rounds, I'm pretty sure. They went 24-0. It'd be pretty remarkable. But
the Invincibles, they're often, teams that do that are often labeled the Invincibles.
Well, I suppose it all doesn't matter unless you win the flag.
It doesn't with the finals. With the finals model.
But we will be back next Monday to review all the Waffle action. Four big games this week, likely to shape the five, as they will continue to do over the course of the rest of this season. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.